are days where it is not that much fun. But I find that it's sort of like going to the gym. You know, some days you're psyched and amped to go, and then other days you just have to drag yourself there. But you know, once you get there and you start, it'll be okay, and it'll actually wind up being great. So that's how those days go.
Welcome back to the Tower Hill Podcast. Today, we have the second episode of our new Indispensable Agent series. As part of the series, we will be interviewing some of the best top producing agents that we know, as well as some folks who are not in our industry, but who display the kind of qualities in business that we hope to replicate here at Tower Hill. I'll be joined in a moment by my brother, Pat, and today's very special guest, Mrs. Mary Schroth. Mary is an agent with us here at Tower Hill. She's a bulletproof agent and a great colleague as well. We are super grateful to have her as part of our brokerage. Mary built her business somewhat uniquely on the art of door knocking. As you'll hear in the interview, Mary's persistent and consistent approach to door knocking has paid off, and she's built an admirable business. Without further ado, let's hear from Mary.
I am really excited about our guest today. We have Mary Schroth, who is one of my favorite people in the business here locally. We've known Mary ever since she got into the business. Mm-hmm. And Mary, how long have you been in the business now?
Oh, geez. Going on 4 years, steadily approaching 4 years this fall.
So a relative youngster in the business still in many ways. You know, 4 years, we've got people in this area who've been in this for 40 years. And Mary is tearing it up and doing amazing stuff. And just like everybody came into this business going, how do you do this? You know, where do you start? How do I make this happen? So, and has had, I think the last 2 years in particular, Mary, you've had some really nice breakthrough years. And so we're going to get to that, but I want to talk a little about just who you are, and how you've built your business a little bit. So, you're local, you're from this area originally.
I am. I grew up in Bethesda, so local as they come. Yes.
And now you're at a brokerage in Bethesda.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's awesome, by the way, to have you at Tower Hill. Mary just joined Tower Hill not 4 or 5 months ago now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So just awesome to have you there. And so what was it that caused you to decide, okay, I'm going to give real estate a try?
Great question. I was actually recruited by a previous employer of mine to join their team to run operations. Mm-hmm. So when I initially entered the industry, it was to be really on the back end of things, not to be out acting as a realtor. Mm-hmm. And I was attracted to the potential to grow and challenge myself. So that's why I decided to leave my secure salary job. You know what I'm saying though, sure. The real estate industry, it's in my mind was much higher risk than my secured salary job of 10 plus years.
Sure. And what were you doing before?
I was in property management. So I spent about a decade in property management.
Okay. And I think it's safe to say that whether by nurture or nature, and I think perhaps by both, you love the details, right? You're a detail person.
I would agree with that. Very much so. Although I will say now that business is picking up, I've discovered that I'm allowing certain details that would have mattered in the past to go.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
So yeah, we can get back to that later, but before I forget, what is the biggest detail you've let go this year in your business to allow yourself to keep growing the business?
Oh, that's a good question. I think probably... when it comes to contracts, let me give you an example. Sometimes the listing agent will have disclosures uploaded and there are sections that are incomplete. And in the past, I would have gone back to the listing agent time and time again to get a complete set of the disclosures. But in the current market we're in, allowing hours, if not days, to pass without the ability to get under contract puts your client at great risk. So now I've discovered that a good workaround is just to add a clause that says they'll provide completed disclosures within 24 hours of ratification. So I'm less uncomfortable because I put something in there But years ago, I never would have allowed such a thing to occur. And been comfortable with it.
God forbid. Yeah. Most agents listening to this went, oh, that would be a problem.
Didn't even see it.
Yeah. No, so, and knowing you, I know that that's sort of very, it comes very natural to you to be very focused on the details. And I think in some ways that's been something that has lent itself to your early success in the business. So you go from the security of a property management job of 10 years, you jump into the administrative side of a team, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yes.
Now that's still salary, I imagine, yes. or at least
yes.
hourly.
Yes.
Why go from that to the total insecurity of being an agent?
Good question. Well, the team I joined, fantastic team, they took a bit of a turn with business for the year and decided that the new position they had created for me, they couldn't keep in place. Gotcha. So I had a big decision to make. I had secured my license while I was on their team, and I thought about it, prayed about it, and decided that I was going to go for it.
That's great. So even what was a setback became your launching point.
Total springboard.
Absolutely. That was probably one of the most, in my mind, risky decisions I've ever made, and the best decision I've ever made.
That's awesome. Don't tell your husband.
Okay. Well, he wasn't a risky decision. He was perfect. Risky for him, maybe, but I got a great hobby.
Awesome. So now you do that about 4 years ago, going on 4 years ago. So you're not even total 4 years in the business as an agent. Is that right?
That's right. Let me think about this. We're in about 3.5 years.
Wow.
As an agent. Yeah.
And then, you know, this is where we kind of come into the picture. You join Kilner Group for a hot minute. And it was awesome to get to know you. That's how we know you really initially. And I remember talking to you and at that point, Kilner Group had a very specific way in which they were doing lead gen, and it just didn't line up for you. It didn't work for you. And so we said, hey, let's stay friends. Like, this is awesome. I'm so grateful for relationships that we've been able to forge here. And you said, you know what? I'm going to try going out on my own, and call me crazy, but I'm going to go start knocking on doors.
That's right.
And I did call you crazy. I went, that's crazy. Like, that's, you know, who does that anymore? That's amazing. I'm worried for you. Gosh, you know, you're all of like 5'1" and, you know, I know you're a ninja, but, you know, I'm worried about you knocking on people's doors, you perfect strangers, you know? So I had all this, you know, worry and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen with Mary? And also that's a route of knocking doors that a lot of people are just scared of for whatever reason. Like, either they don't like when people knock on their door and they're like, I wouldn't want to do that. So how did you decide to make that really the anchor initially of your lead generation?
That is a great question. I tried cold calling, mm-hmm. and I had very much the same thinking you're referring to about, I don't like when people call me on the phone. And I found it difficult to lead generate that way because you can't see people, you mm-hmm. can't read them. And I think it's easier to reject somebody on the phone than mm-hmm. when they're in front of you. So I decided that I would just give door knocking a shot. Worst case is I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I got out there and discovered that it's beneficial in many ways. You have the opportunity to meet the person. You can read their body language when they're in front of you. And again, they're less likely to reject you. And an added bonus is you're outside. So in many ways, it's therapeutic. You're getting exercise. You're out. And you are sunny, or it's even snow.
Yeah.
The case may be.
No, I agree with you.
Right? But you're out in Mother Nature for a couple hours.
But you're knocking doors, by the way. Like, I'll call Mary and it's like February and it's sleeting and she's knocking doors. She's like, oh, I love Mother Nature. There's got to be days that, like, this is not that fun.
That's true. There are days where it is not that much fun. But I find that it's sort of like going to the gym on the, you know, some days you're psyched and amped to go, and then other days you just have to drag yourself there. But you know, once you get there and you start, it'll be okay, and it'll actually wind up being great. So that's how those days go.
And I think that's like any lead generation system, is that you do have to find something that aligns with you know, sort of your particular talents, but no lead generation system is going to be something that you want to do every single day.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not going to want to respond to, you know, internet leads every single day. You're not going to pick up the phone. You're not going to have coffees and lunches with people, you know, if that's your strategy. So I think that's a great analogy, the gym analogy.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is I was calculating based on your goals this year and what your trajectory is, you're going to bring in as an individual agent about just around $300,000 in GCI, which is pretty serious when you went from totally unestablished 3.5 years ago to this and really started knocking doors, what, 24 months ago?
Yeah, I'd say 2 years, 2.5 years, maybe possibly 3 now that I think about it, because time's flying by.
2.5 around there. Okay. Yeah.
We'll go 2.5, yeah.
So you've been knocking doors 2.5 years and gone from zero deals to this year, you're on pace to do 28, maybe 30 based on your pace. And all of that is self-generated from zero. So I think that, you know, one, that should just be inspiring to a lot of people. And kudos to you, because you decided to do that in a place where there's not a whole lot of competition. Did the competitive side of it come into play? Like, hey, I'm going to do something that other people just are afraid to do?
That's a great question. I think it was strategic. In terms of competitiveness, I tend to compete with myself, not necessarily others, but I do think it was very strategic. I knew that I didn't have much competition. And that was confirmed initially when I started going to doors and I heard people saying, oh, we've never had a realtor at our door. Or I was curious to see who you were and why you were here. You look to be, you know, dressed far more nicely than somebody selling me a roof or gutters. So
yeah, you're taking down trees worked. In the neighborhood. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's yeah. Right. So yeah. It
just,
yeah. Worked.
So Mary, I'd love to know, like, what when you're meeting folks, what gets you into the conversation with them? Like, what value are you trying to bring to them so that they remember you? Obviously it's working and you've had a lot of success, and I've read the reviews that people have given you online, right? Like people have really taken to, you know, the way that you do business. So how do you start those door knocking conversations?
That's a good question. I think it's evolved more since I've been doing it for years. Initially, well, it still is very cold, right? Unless I'm revisiting the neighborhood, which is occurring now. So they're really starting to know me. But essentially, I knock on the door, introduce myself as Mary Stroth, a local realtor. I'm testing out now. I'm a local top realtor, just to see what their response is. Mm-hmm. And state that I'm doing my annual visit to see if they're thinking about moving in the next year or two. And then I go silent, because I think we have short attention spans. They're thinking in their head, why are you here? Right. And they're probably thinking, I want to go inside. So I try to make it short and sweet and get to the point. And then depending on their response, then the dialogue continues or doesn't. I thank them. It's always nice to meet you and have a great day.
Sorry, we're having a little trouble hearing you, Mary. It seems like
can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No,
Mary,
no, sorry.
Mary is joining us over video conference. So sometimes we have some technical difficulties, but no problem.
How about now?
It's good.
Yeah.
Now it's good.
Sounds great.
Let's
do this. Could we do a quick role play on that? Because I think there's a lot of people who might be listening to this going, what did she just say? That seemed really easy. Doesn't sound like a script. It felt really natural. And not salesy. So, Mike, you be the homeowner, because you're
worse.
I'm sure you're more aggressive on the door.
Be a nice homeowner, Mike. No.
All right. Okay. All
right. Here we go. Ready?
I'm ready. That was me opening my creaky front door. Yes. Can I help you?
Hi, how are you? I'm Mary Schroth. I'm a local realtor. I'm doing my annual visit to see if you're thinking about moving in the next year or two.
No, I, honey, are we thinking about moving? Come over here. Children crying in the background. I think we'll be here for 5 to 7 years.
Okay. May I ask, have you been here for a while?
No, we actually moved in 2 days ago.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, that's why I haven't met you before then. Well, welcome. It's great to have you here in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So do you do this? Do you just walk around and knock on people's doors? You seem a little... You seem diminutive.
Well, funny you should ask. I do, actually. I visit your neighborhood annually. And I actually love getting out and meeting people. I think you can connect at a much higher level. So I'm so excited to get to meet you. That's why I haven't met you before.
Yeah, we moved in 2 days ago.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, congratulations.
But I can't even remember my realtor's name at this point. So do you have a card?
I do. Well, let me give this to you. And feel free anytime you have a question or if you're in need of a contract or just curious about the market, don't be shy. I'd love to help in any way I can. And I'll see you next year.
Great. Awesome. Great.
Have a good day.
So you too. I love that because it's so soft, but you're just doing that. Now, I think part of what I know about you, Mary, is that you're doing this, like if you're looking to try to sell everybody that you're with, you're probably not going to enough homes, but you go to how many homes a week?
Oh, okay. It varies.
What's your goal?
The objective is to make 100 contacts, meaning I'm asking 100 people a week if they're thinking about moving.
100 people a week. So, and how many days a week are you knocking doors?
Well, I should be knocking doors 5 days a week. There are some weeks where I fall off track, but the objective is 2 hours a day, 5 days a week.
So 10 hours a week to do 100 doors.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. No. It's like going to the gym.
Right, exactly. Go hard.
Or getting my hair done. Well, maybe not my hair. That's great. So, and so I think there's a lesson there in terms of volume, right? When you're just going and connecting, your goal is connections. Your goal is just showing up, connecting, being yourself, you know, totally, totally unassuming, very just, and you're coming from contribution as well in terms of, you know, hey, anything you need, let me know. Be more than happy to help, right? You're not asking for the sale. You are asking, I mean, you're asking a very direct question. Want to know if you're thinking of moving in the next year or two, right? I think that's great, but it's not, can I have your listing, you know, anything like that. And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of. What about time of the day? When are you knocking?
Good question. Daylight saving time is in effect between 4 and 6, mm-hmm. sometimes 4:30 and 6:30. On weeknights. And then if I have not made all of my contacts, it would carry over into Saturday. Anytime between, I'd say, well, sometimes it goes late if I haven't made my contacts, but between 12 and 5 on a Saturday works quite well.
Fantastic.
And that's when you find that you're getting the most doors answered.
Right. Because people are home. Now, you know, you could argue that you could go later. I hesitate with that because I don't think I would be happy if someone was at my door. It's 7 o'clock at night.
Dinner time and that sort of stuff.
Right, right. I think it can cause more alarm the later you go into the evening from the recipient. So
I like that. And you're working your hours too. It's not interrupting your own family life as well at that hour, probably nearly as much as it could.
That's right. And in the winter, when daylight disappears quickly, I will go from 3 to 5 on weeknights.
Awesome.
So it works. And it's different too, I'll say. I mean, Mike wasn't thinking about moving, but if somebody is thinking about moving, you know, then we'll continue in dialogue. And my objective at that point is to capture phone number first and then email address, because it's more difficult in my experience to secure a phone number from somebody. They're usually happy to give you their email address. And then of course I know where they live. So then I have everything I need. to take back to the office and put into the system.
Wow.
So what after you put them into the system, what does your follow-up plan look like?
Okay, so within 2 to 4 weeks of having met them, I put them into my database and a thank you card is mailed out to them. It's short and sweet, but it's just thanking them for their time. I include another business card just in case they threw away the one I gave them. And then tell them I'll reach out, or they're welcome to reach out. And then they go on a weekly email drip campaign for 7 weeks. And then they move over to a different type of campaign that touches them somewhere around 24, 26 times a year, whether it be email and phone calls or email, phone calls, and mailers.
Fantastic. So this is not really the tip of the spear, if you will, is knocking the door. But then as you add people to your database, at this point, how many people do you have in your database?
I'd say I've always float around 300, between 280 and 300.
So you're refining your database, obviously, because, you know, that's you're really, and those are people who are either past clients thinking about selling in the next 2 to 3 years, or 1 to 2 years. But it's not everybody in the areas that you're farming. Is that right?
That's right. I've gotten better as the years go on at reading people and understanding, if based on our communication, they really are thinking about buying and selling. And, you know, I have discovered, I will say this, I do refine it, but I may slow down on my refining because I think I refined it too much. And I'll give you an example. I recently had a seller call me. I had been following up with her for 2 years. I had spoken with her once or twice over the 2 years, deleted her from the database. Because I thought, well, she hasn't called. I haven't talked to her in 8 or 10 months, right? And I've reached out 2 or 3 times. And then the heck if she didn't call me a month later and say, Mary, we're ready to sell. And
we want no to kidding. So there's
persistence. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I like that though. You're taking what's a fairly simple system. You're not overcomplicating it, right? But you're coming up with, through experience, you're coming up with the parameters around the types of people you want in the database, how often you're going to touch them, how long you're going to nurture them, right? And I think, I don't know about you, Pat, but as I'm listening to what Mary says, I think it ties into what we talk about in terms of being unique and valuable to folks, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So Mary has you know, what has door knocking is somewhat of a I would say like a dying, you know, form of lead generation. You know, we don't know that many
it's
folks.
So easy to hide behind devices and screens and exactly. You know, and pay right. Zillow and all this stuff. And your lead generation cost, by the way, it's free to go knock on people's doors, right? That's what's so amazing about this. You've built a very fine database of people who you know are fans of yours, and you have a campaign that follows up with them that prompts you to go do certain activities around a group of people who are big fans of Mary Schroth, which is amazing. And it costs you next to nothing.
That is
which
correct.
Is amazing. Maybe some galoshes, right? You know, that you've worn out. But
well, that is true. Yes, you do. I do recommend everybody to buy high quality shoes. Worth the investment, quality and comfort.
But and I think it's important to note, because I've been talking to Mary for a little while now, over the years, I know that it's just this year that you've begun sending out mailers to these areas that you're also knocking on the doors. Is that right?
Well, farming wise, I've actually, within the last couple months, started a farm. So strategically mailing to that farm, that's correct. Now, I will say in years past, the last year or two, I would drip on the sellers that I had met door knocking once a month with a postcard. But when you look at the actual cost of it, I mean, last year it wound up running around $1,100. And mind you, I didn't start doing that until the business was generating revenue. So essentially, when I started, there really was no cost associated with door. Yeah. Yep.
And then you're only sending to people who you know strategically you want to send to. So you're not just blanket marketing. You're strategically making an impression on a very specific individual, which is a very different tactic than I think we're sold on in terms of farming, right? Even when we're, when we have, AI doing, pulling data on who's most likely to sell. Right. That's even like, you blow away artificial intelligence. You get on the ground intelligence, of what's important to people, and you've made a human connection, which is what, and they know your name, they know your person, your name, they trust you after some time. And so you're really campaigning for Mary, this of Mary in these specific areas. What I think is also really interesting, we talked to a lot of agents who go, I don't know, which farm should I start, mailing to and this sort of thing, but they've never set foot in the farm. And right. So what you did is you went
and they're not in a revenue position where they should be committing
that,
to
there's the other side of that.
18 to 24 months of mailers.
Yeah. So what Mary's done is spent the time to actually physically research, go and actually knock on the doors to see where the best response is for her at the price points that she's already interested in.
Right.
And with the volume of turnover that she's already interested in. So we've already got those things from a farming perspective, nailed down, but then doesn't go in leading with cost. She spends the time, makes it happen, is strategic about the people she's following up with. Now she's going to do 14, 15, 16 listings this year as a result of being boots on the ground after 2.5 years of doing this, which is just phenomenal, right? And she looks great because she's walking all over the place and living this European lifestyle. And on top of it, now I know you've strategically decided here's the farm area or farm areas where now I can go in and not only say I'm an expert, but actually be an expert because you've spent the time in there. So
that's true.
That is a really cool success story there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the people know who I am because I've knocked it, this particular farm for 2 or 3 years now, and I've sold in there. And I think it's nice too, to knock a farm before you enter it, because you can figure out if you connect with the neighborhood, every neighborhood is so different. That's what I've discovered door knocking, which is fascinating.
Yeah. And you're door knocking in basically the same zip code, right? Or pretty close together.
Close together. That's a good question, Pat. I discovered I was running out of neighborhoods when I was staying on pace with 100 contacts in one zip code. But what is also really great about door knocking is even if I'm venturing into multiple cities, they're all close to home. And that's another huge benefit I've discovered in the last year or two, that the majority of my business is really close to home because I door knocked close to home. And so when I need to run over to listings, right? Or when I have buyers that I picked up from door knocking, they're probably thinking about buying close. So it saves time and ensures I have more time with my family.
Fantastic. Now, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You said that people, I don't know if you said this specifically, but I think you said they have certain body language where you can tell if they're going to sell or not. What are the tells that people give? I mean, aside from, by the way, I want to do this as well. I'd love to hear the dialogue about how you go get their information when they're thinking about selling. So I want to hear that, but also what are the telltale signs that you're looking for in your experience?
Okay. Well, it's pretty easy to pick up on body language. It's somewhat resistant to you. Mm-hmm. Typically, you'll see arms folded. Well, right. Door slam. No, for the record, that does not happen often at all. I think I can only think of one time that happened. But their arms are folded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people, for the most part, are actually quite kind. And I think I'm sidetracking us, but the more you continue to do whatever your lead gen activity is, the better you get at it and the more confident you become. And people, you talked about this earlier in the year, Pat, I think we spoke about it. People can pick up on if you're confident or not. And so I think that's helped too, because I have less resistance than I did initially. But yeah, arms folded, or when they're just giving you a really strange look, you can tell something's off. And of course, people that are open to you tend to have smiles and their arms are down. So it's nothing super special. But you can read it. You can just, at least for me anyways, I do much better in front of people. I can read them better.
So can you give us a dialogue to go and get that information, right? Somebody says, so if Mike said, you know, actually, you know, we've been here for about 5 years. You know, we always saw this as a stepping stone to something else. So we're probably looking to move in the next, you know, 18 months or so.
Okay. That's exciting. Well, may I ask, why are you thinking about moving? Is it more space, schools? What's prompting your
decision? A little bit of both. I mean, the kids are not quite at school age yet, but we definitely anticipate, you know, needing more space for sure. And the school system is going to be important to us. And, you know, we'd like to upgrade that way as well.
Okay. Are you thinking of staying in the area, if I may ask?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We're both from this area and we want to stay here.
Okay. Great. So, I must tell you, I do a lot of work in the area and I love the opportunity to talk to you some more as you get closer to making this big move. So you tell me, would it be okay to reach out to you in a few months just to see how things are progressing on your end?
I don't see why not. I mean, I've seen you come through here. This is probably the second year at least that I've met you. It was Mary, right?
It is. Well, let me give you a card. I may have given it to you in years past, but here's a card. Yeah. So you have my contact info.
Awesome.
And then you tell me, what's a good number to reach you on?
You know, and then I give you the number, so there you go. Feel free to let me know. We've not sold a house before. This is our first home that we purchased. So don't really know what that looks like.
Okay. Well, that's huge. I imagine you're probably excited and scared, or one of the two of you probably is.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. That's okay. That's normal. You know what I'd love to do then? Why don't I set you up so you can, I send out notifications by email that include helpful information to sellers. Mm-hmm. If you're on board, why don't I take down your email address and I'll get you set up for that, because knowledge is power, right? Mm. And then why don't we plan on chatting, I don't know, in 4 or 5 months and scheduling some time to get together to talk through what the selling process looks like if you're on board. Even if you're still a year out, it can be great because you'll learn about what's involved and it won't feel so overwhelming.
Awesome. So when you say on board, are you saying that that we would necessarily have to work with you if you send us this stuff?
No, absolutely not. No. I'm sure you'll want to once we meet and talk about it. No. I am a no pressure person at all. And you're welcome to look me up online and see what other folks have said about me. But I'd love to stay in touch. As I said, I do a lot of work in the area and I'd love to learn more about what this new season for your family is going to look like and talk to you more about selling.
Fantastic. Yeah, let's do that. Thank you, Mary.
Oh, thank you. It was nice to meet you and I'll be in touch. Have a good night.
Good. So love that, because it's really
somehow you became me.
I did become you because I rolled with it. Sorry.
You do it. You do a terrible me.
I do.
There would have been a slam in the face when she asked for the phone.
Yeah, but very natural and you're just affirming them the whole time. And this is, you know, this is stuff. You wouldn't get that quote script from really anybody else. It's so clearly you, Mary. You know, I love the, you know, knowledge is power. You know, you're getting these affirmations, these yeses along the way. And you know, understanding the season of life that they're going into, really seeing the big picture. Those are things that are leadership traits, and you're already weaving that into your dialogue with people. Whether you realize it or not, it's things that really struck me about just the way you're presenting, which is totally low pressure. Even when I went to, well, you know, are you going to pressure me? You totally took that away and, you know, feel free to look me up online and, and then you went back to sort of the, you know, let me understand the big picture for you and hey, let's see if we can work together. So beautifully done. Really, really nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. For the record, a lot of times the conversation isn't quite that
Yeah, linear.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But it's always a little bit different, but you learn, right? As years go on, you learn. Yeah. And roll with it.
So what keeps you motivated? I mean, let's go big picture here. You are, you know, you're out there knocking doors. I think a lot of people would at some point go, all right, I put in my dues, knock on the doors, and now I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna mail it in, literally. I'm gonna start mailing. Are you gonna keep knocking doors, first of all?
Absolutely, always. Okay. I mean, that's, in many ways, not many ways, I should say, like somebody once said that you should focus on what you excel in, right? And I think I've discovered that I excel in this, and this is what my business is being built upon. And so to move away from that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I love it. And so you'll continue this. You're going to add on the marketing side of, well, you already have started mailing, which is great. And I'm sure that's just going to add, you know, gosh, you're going to get up to a place where, you know, you need some help here. So what's the plan? Where do you want to be? You know, let's fast forward another 2.5 years from now. What does Mary Schroth look like? What's your career look like?
Oh boy. That's a good question. I imagine that I can't imagine ceasing from growth. Mm. So that alone to me means that at some point we will grow, or I will grow into a team.
Mm-hmm.
Because failing to do so, I mean, you can only do so much volume as a solo agent. And I just can't imagine stopping and ceasing from pushing yourself. So that alone to me means I'll probably be in a place of having a team. Great. I will if I set my mind to it, but yeah.
Fantastic. And is that a goal? I mean, do you envision, you know, a bunch of people that you're training and teaching and motivating at some point?
I do. I think I have a lot of growth that needs to take place before I get to the place where I'm leading people. But I love to teach. Mm. And so I think once I get myself to the place where it indicates I'm ready to leave, then yes. Yeah.
I have a feeling you're already ready to leave. You're just listening to you and knowing you as well. I think what's awesome is when you possess something, a skill set like you possess, it is the doorway into being able to lead because you're so good at a craft. And what you've been able to do is really become excellent at this craft. What that craft of knocking doors has allowed you to do is then become really masterful at the transaction as well. And so like Mike was saying, I mean, you having you on board at Tower Hill is awesome because people only say wonderful things about you, Mary. It's great, you know? And so we see that. And so, you know, that's when you're giving a client experience like what you're giving, right? And people see you as an absolutely fundamental resource for their friends and their family. And that's what's started to happen for you is now you're getting past clients, referrals, you know, people who trust you implicitly, who are also building that other leg to your business, which you didn't have, right, initially. There's this great organic growth. I definitely see you needing some great help in building this empire of yours. It's exciting to have you at Tower Hill to do that with us. And, you know, if you could give any advice to folks who are starting out, What would you suggest that they do in order just to stay motivated and stay on task? What works for you? What would you suggest to folks?
Good question. I think when we all start, we're scared that we're going to fail, or we start and we aren't seeing the results quickly. Mm. So I think I would suggest to new agents to make sure they have a good support network. I mean, there were times when I started where I would start to doubt myself, even though it all made so much sense. I knew that, you know, probability told me it would take longer than normal to have results from door knocking, right? Because what are the odds you're going to knock on someone's door and they're ready to move next week? You know, I started 3 or 4 months into it to go, oh gosh, have I just completely lost my mind? So my husband was rallying around me saying, you can do this. I know you can do this. You're going to crush it. So I would tell new agents to make sure they have support network. And to truly just believe and know that if you're persistent and you're consistent, you will succeed. You will. I mean, I read a book and it was, I think, Orville Redenbacher. He's the popcorn fellow, right? He essentially said, at the end of the day, it boils down to being persistent. That's why he succeeded. And so when I read that, I thought, well, I can do that. I can persist. And if you want to keep, if you're somebody that needs to really keep yourself motivated, I'd suggest getting an accountability partner. I put that in place this year. And there are weeks when I'm watching my numbers and I know that, you know, I need to make so many contacts to stay on pace with the contact goal I set for the year. I'll tell my AV partner, I'm writing a check to her if I don't make my contacts. And let me tell you why. The contacts are always made. Every week I do that.
Amazing.
So offer to write checks if you'll knock it out of the park. That's what I tell new agents.
That is phenomenal. Now, is she doing the same type of lead generation as you?
No, she's much more of a networker and sphere of influence person.
So that's really interesting. I oftentimes hear people saying, well, I need an accountability partner who's basically a clone of me doing the same type of lead generation. But you found that just in somebody who you like and respect as another professional in the business who you enjoy connecting with, I'm sure there's some really great idea exchange there, and who's not afraid to tell you, Mary, you're dogging it.
Right.
And I think it's also a lot of just self-knowledge to know writing that check is really hard. And so I know it's going to really motivate me. So finding what it is that's really, really hard. I imagine for a lot of folks, writing a check is going to get them out of their comfort zone a little bit and allow them to go push forward.
Absolutely. And it doesn't, I don't know, for me, it's $100, which for a lot of people, they would be like, "Who? It's $100, right? I'll go do something else." But for some reason, and I don't even know that it's about the money. I don't know what it is, but it works. So I think it would work for others.
You know, if you want, I'm happy to be your counselor.
You're never going to get any money out of her. I know. Well, you know, I mean, she said it earlier. She said, you know, Mary said that she's motivated to compete against herself. And she would, you know, there's two versions of herself at the end of the week. The version that lost, right, that had to send in the money. And then there's a version that didn't have to send in the money because they won, right? So it's really, you're dictating the version of Mary that you know, the results at the end of the week.
Awesome.
That's true, Mike. That's insightful. Thank you.
Tremendously. That's great. Oh.
One day, all of you will realize.
Brilliant.
I'm giving you all of your ideas and letting you take some of the credit.
That whole money thing, that actually came from me.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Mary, thank you so much. This has been awesome. It's been awesome just to see your growth as a professional, as a woman, as... you know, knowing you on your personal, in your personal life, just watching you grow as a wife and just in your family relationships, you know, from our perspective, it's just fantastic. And, that's why I wanted to have you on here is you are, I mean, to tie it into what we talk about in terms of being indispensable, you have been indispensable to your lead generation system by doing what a lot of other people wouldn't do. We know because we talk to your clients or we see, you know, your reviews that they're thrilled and they can't imagine not doing business without Mary Schroth. And that is just, I think we're just at the tip of what we're going to see from you. And this snowball is just going to start spinning out of control. Look out. It's going to be amazing.
Love it. Thank you. That's why I came to Tower Hill continue. I couldn't imagine going. I wouldn't be able to go on this mission without you guys. So thank you.
Well, it's an honor.
Group effort.
Beautiful. Well, Mary, thank you. Have an awesome rest of your week. We'll see you in the office hopefully very soon. And And thanks again for just all the words of wisdom.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends about us. For feedback on this episode or the podcast in general, email us at podcast@towerhillrealty.com. We'll see you next time.